John chapter 21, the last chapter of John's Gospel, talks about the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ. We talked about last Sunday about the group of disciples who went back to fishing. Jesus appeared to them and prepared a breakfast for them. A God who prepares us even when we find ourselves frustrated and disappointed. He comes to us and prepares a plentiful blessing, full of a plentiful table full of blessings for his people. Continuing with that story, at the same time, right after the breakfast, Jesus had a talk with Peter, and he asked him three questions. Peter, do you love me? And Peter responded three times that I love you. And at the third time, Peter was so heartbroken that he said, Lord, you know all things. I love you. As we experience the situation right now, if we look at the past 2,000 years of Christianity, there are only two recorded times that where the church was officially closed around the world from worshipping in person. The first was in the early 1900s, where the Spanish flu started around 1918 and ended in 1920. That was the first time. And in 2020, this time, around exactly 100 years after that, is the second time that the church around the world had to close their doors from physically meeting for worship. Wars and persecution did not close the church in the past. Wars or swords and persecution did not stop the worship in any time in history, except these two instances, one of them which we are living now, and both of these instances were from invisible enemies. The gathering and the rituals we cherish have become a public danger, and if we must survive, life as we know have to be put on hold, at least for the time being. As Pope Francis said in his speech a couple of Sundays ago, he said a thick darkness has gathered on our streets and our squares, and it has started to take over our lives as well. But today's text about Jesus coming to a tired and frustrated Peter gives us hope. As people of faith, we have a hope to look forward to. All is not lost when we find ourselves in situations like this. Remember that all is not lost. We will rise from all these things and the church will become strong again. The passage that we read today from John 21, 15, verses 15 through 25 gives us a key link into the early church development and their mission during that time. It is a connecting point for us to understand what was happening in the early days of the preaching of the gospel. This passage, most of us know that it is a passage, do you love me passage, reminded of the three times that Jesus asked Peter about his love toward him. And we are also reminded about Peter denying Jesus three times, and Jesus is asking Peter three times, do you love me? Peter's story is a personal story. It is a real story that each of us can relate to. If we read through the Gospels, it is a story that involves calling, taking risks and using words and failures and fumbles and denials and a lot of things like you and I go through, Peter had to go through in his life. If we look at the early days of Peter when he decided to follow Jesus, we can read that in John chapter 1 and also in Luke chapter 5. His brother Andrew actually found Jesus first and followed him and then went and got Simon. Peter and brought him to Jesus. And we read that in John's Gospel chapter 1. There Jesus sees Simon and renames him Peter, which means rock. But when we look at the same incident listed in Luke chapter 5, Jesus called him and tells him that he will become fisher of men or fisher of people. Since then, Peter took on the risk of his life, leaving his fishing business and followed Jesus. We know that Peter was an extraordinary disciple. He did a lot of things that the others would not dare to do. Remember, he jumped out of the boat into the water to walk on water. He's the one who was part of the group that went to the Mount of Transfiguration, where he saw Jesus in a glorious form. He also had a problem with his mouth, that he talks a lot. Sometimes it worked against him. And he said that Peter said that one time that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah. Then Jesus asked him, "Who do you say that I am?" He said, "You are the Son of God, the Messiah." But very shortly after that, he denied him at the time of his Jesus' crucifixion and his trial. Peter denied him. Also, we know that. In all these things of failures and fumblings of Peter, there was one thing that remained constant. It was the love of Jesus toward him. Jesus loved him regardless of where he was or what he was doing. Jesus loves us regardless of our condition, our failures, and our weaknesses. He comes and helps us in spite of us straying and denying him. His love never changes. After Peter's denial, something changed. Something died in him. He became so grief-stricken that we read that he went outside and wept after he denied Jesus. His own confidence and strength were gone, and he knew that his ultimate power has to come from God, and he was not the rock that Jesus wanted him to be. He realized that he was still a piece of clay in the hands of the potter, who makes the vessel according to his will. So he learned certain things and changed his direction after that, and he wanted to see the resurrected Christ very badly. So the third day he ran to the tomb after hearing the message that his body was not in the tomb. He was suspecting that he would see Jesus so that he can ask for forgiveness probably. And he knew Jesus would forgive him. But he could not find him there. But the women told, as Jesus told them, to send the message to the disciples that they should go to Galilee, where they will see him. So Peter and the other disciples went to Galilee, but they did not see him there immediately. They had to wait for a moment, a few days. That's when we saw that Peter and the rest of the disciples were getting back to their fishing business. But there also he found himself to be a failure, because they fished all night and could not catch anything. Peter is very disappointed now, probably frustrated. So he decided to go to the familiar business that he had, and there also he could not find himself to be a success. Peter must have felt so awful. Nothing seems to be working. How can he go on living like this? How can he carry on? That's when suddenly a voice calls out and says, "Friends, have you anything to eat?" After their tired night of fishing, catching nothing, they didn't have anything. But Jesus told them to throw their net on the other side, and they caught a big catch of fish. Peter probably remembered, as we saw that in Luke chapter 5, where when he first followed Jesus, a similar incident happened there, where they could not catch anything. So Jesus told them to throw their net on the other side. Then Peter, at that time replied back to Jesus saying that, Jesus, we have fished all night and we did not get anything. You are asking us to go back again, do the same thing. Because Peter was a very experienced fisherman. He knew there was nothing to catch there after all that night. But when they obeyed the words of Jesus, they had a big catch. And he remembered that this time, after the resurrection, he remembered how that experience was in the beginning when he started following Jesus. This time, the difference is that he kept quiet. Peter did not talk back. He did not have any questions for Jesus. He knew that he had to go into complete surrender and obedience to what he was told. He was told in the beginning that he was going to be a fisher of men, of people. But when Peter decided to say nothing, Peter didn't have any words to say to Jesus at this time, Jesus did not want to stop there. He wanted Peter to speak. When we are lonely and gloomy, frustrated and disappointed, sometimes we go into our remote loneliness and silence. We don't want to talk. But Jesus comes to us in the middle of our loneliness, and he wants us to talk. He wants us to talk to him because we are going to be witnesses for him in this world. So we have to talk to the world. We are not meant to be silent. So Jesus comes to us when we are depressed, when we are lonely, when we don't have words to speak or friends to speak to. He is our friend. He is the one who comes and restores us. The story, first of all, is not more about Peter. Rather, it is more a story about Jesus coming to Peter. Jesus is the Lord of heaven and earth. He is the one who rose from the dead. Through the power of Easter, he broke the silence of death. And he wanted Peter not to be silent, but he wanted Peter to speak. So he did not confront him with a rebuke or any bad words about his past, but he came to forgive him and to give him a new life. But the question he was asking, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you truly love me more than any of these things? He asked him 3 times. He was asking for the sacrificial love, the commitment that he showed through his life in this world. And he was asking Peter, do you have that kind of love toward me? Even to the point of giving your life. But when Peter responded, many of you probably have heard that message, that he was responding with a different word for love. When he said, I love you, Jesus. The word that he used was philios, which is brotherly love. But Jesus was asking for a divine love, a sacrificial love. That's why finally Peter gave up and said, Lord, you know everything. And Jesus was tenderly reaching out to this wounded and hurt Peter to make him speak again so that he can become the rock that Jesus can build his church on. And that's what happened after Jesus appeared to Peter. Peter was unable to go to Jesus, but Jesus was able to come to Peter. We are no different. When our life's mistakes make us shameful and we want to shut up ourselves in our own little cages and caves and our closets, we find that Jesus will suddenly show up in our situations. This is the same Jesus who told us that he will be there with us wherever we are. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And then Jesus gives him the ministry to feed the lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. Jesus is telling Peter that he is to continue with the calling that he has received when he first started following him. Peter became the rock of the church, where God has built the church on him. Peter, meaning rock. Why would Jesus ask this question 3 times? It's probably hard to say what the answer is, but many people say that it is because Peter denied Jesus three times. Maybe he was trying to reinstate Peter, confirming that the threefold questions and answers. Or in those days, making a contract needed three affirmations. That was the going system at that time. Threefold questions and answers was needed to make a contract. Or maybe it is both. We don't know the answer. But what we do know is that Christ came to restore Peter. Christ was asking him, "Do you love my church or love your sheep more than these?" He was asking Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" He blots out and destroys Peter's denials and giving him a new affirmation that he is going to send him to witness for him in this world. This is good news for all of us. Restoration is possible even when we find ourselves badly broken. We need to hear the story of grace that will make us new. The same grace that Christ has provided and restored Peter is still available to you and me today. Peter took up the cross and followed Christ. The words after this, towards the end of this passage, he's talking about the end times of Peter. When you become old, somebody else will be taking you by your hand and guiding you where you do not want to go. Jesus said that, indicating or pointing to the death that Peter would face one day. Eventually, that's what happened. He gave up his life for the cause of the gospel. History says that Peter was crucified by the Roman Emperor Nero, and some historians say that he was crucified upside down. He gave his life for the very purpose that he was called, and he became a rock that Jesus founded his church on. We all sometimes or many times deny the Lord in our own ways. God's grace flows abundantly towards us, to you and me, each of us in our situation. Christ came into this world, emptied himself and became nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. But he demands our full commitment and our full love toward him in our weaknesses. Each of us may have stumbled and fallen, or may have gotten stuck in a hole where we can't get out of. But there is Jesus who will reach out to us, to pick us up and to clean us, and to empower us and tell us that we need to go and preach his gospel to the ends of the world. That is the power of the resurrection that we are to experience as people of God. In the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of failures, there is Jesus who will give us success once we decide to follow him and follow his words, ready to bring glory to him and ready to be the light of this world and also his witnesses and speak and preach his gospel in this world, just like Peter. May the good Lord bless us with these words as we continue our journey together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
The closing hymn is "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine" by Lisa and Dean. So you can all stay quiet and mute your phone, then music will come out better.
My God, baby, my Savior.
Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the worship service that we had together online. Lord, we thank you for your presence in our midst. Thank you for blessing us with your word today. As Peter, we have also failed in many times and stumbled and fallen. Sometimes we got ourselves in our own holes that we made and got stuck in there. But you do not leave us or forsake us. You come to us and restore us. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to your will and surrender our lives into your hands, so that you can use us like you used Peter to build your church in this world on the rock. Help us, Lord, to remember that your mercy is forever and ever, and your grace flows into us through your forgiving and healing, ready to bring glory to you and to be the light of this world. Bless us, Lord, as we depart, that we will be faithful witnesses for you wherever you place us. Comfort those who need comfort and heal those who need healing in their bodies. Cover us all with your love and protection, Lord, until we see each other again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now receive the benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you all for joining, and you all have a blessed week. Let us continue to pray for each other.